We can jump into number two then.
Item number two is discussion on the functionality and roles of the executive and governance committees.
Thank you, Jody. So, you will see over time here that two and three are somewhat related, but more specifically to number two, I thought it would be valuable to have a little bit of discussion about both the executive and governance committees, recognizing that the governance committee is post hoc, but there's oftentimes some overlap, or maybe just part of the discussion can be better clarity about each of those respective committees. And maybe even more importantly, do we consider either merging or doing away with or labeling or retitling some of the work that we do with each of those respective committees? So that is the reason why you're seeing that item number two on the agenda. So that was sort of why I wanted to bring it to the table. And there may have been even a little bit of peripheral discussion about, you know, functionality in the past, I think maybe within the last 6 months, but I don't remember which forum it took place in. But wanting to open the floor a little bit and get a little bit of sense of what this committee views as vital to the purpose and aspects of the executive committee, and then doing a comparison with governance, where they intersect and where they are discreetly different. Jody.
Madam Chair, committee members, and just to also provide a little more clarification, governance is huge and it is extremely important. So we've had minor discussions about making it a standing committee, kind of pulling it out of its ad hoc status just because of the importance. And then also all of the material and subject and issues that governance needs to tackle. I mean, we always get the tip of the iceberg, but there's so much when it comes to orientation of board members. I mean, we've touched a little bit on stuff, but we really need to get down and deep. So it was also recommended that governance be on a regular committee cycle where it is meeting regularly, it is on a schedule, and given the time and attention that it needs to tackle some of the issues that we have. As we noticed at our last governance meeting, we didn't even get the tip of the iceberg. So I think that too, it would be helpful to take it out of its ad hoc status, make it a standing committee, that has to address all of these important board structure items. But then on the flip side, with executive committee, because it has a specific function, instead of that being on a regular cycle, maybe it can be used
sort of as needed, right?
As needed, and then the meetings could be held at the call of the chair. The other thing that I wanted to bring to you guys' attention, and I think this was lost in translation because over time, a lot of this stuff Colleen sat and kind of worked through. But I also wanted to let you guys know that with the governance committee, I mean the executive committee, where we are now, the emeritus position was changed to be a voting member of the executive committee and not just that emeritus position and title. Well, now that I'm looking towards the future, I think it was done like that for a reason. we change that in the bylaws, and we're going to find ourselves with a seat vacant for 2 years. We will have no past chair. And I think that's why that position was left non-voting and emeritus. So we wouldn't find ourselves in that position. But we will find ourselves in that position for the next term. There will be a vacant seat in the executive committee because that emeritus position was made voting. It's going to be vacant for at least 2 years.
So, I don't understand that, Jody. I don't get what you're talking about.
Okay, so the emeritus seat on the executive committee is held by the past chair.
All right.
Come next cycle, there will be no past chair. The past chair is Chairwoman Perez, and she will no longer be on the board. So, therefore, that will leave a 2-year vacancy. At a minimum, it'll be a 2-year vacancy. So, I think in the beginning, that's why it was set up the way it was set up, so you wouldn't run into, you could see in the future that there would be times where there would be no past chair. Does that make sense now?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
The only thing I would say is that I think the executive committee and the governance committee have very distinct roles. An executive committee is to act on behalf of the board when the board's not meeting, and to then deal with emergent issues and report back to the board. It really has nothing to do with governance, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. It's still a good discussion because, Jody, what you just said about the emeritus position and the planning, I didn't realize, or I had at least forgotten, that Colleen had the forethought.
Exactly.
Back in the day.
She did.
She did, yeah. She did. So and thank you, Jody, for filling in details. I sort of brushed over trying to just sort of set the stage, but you, more importantly, you gave some detail that was vital. So we want to maybe have a discussion about, first and foremost, should governance be removed from that ad hoc, given its vital role? We can all agree governance has been sort of a hot committee lately, probably for the past 6 months or so. And really the emergent issues that we've been dealing with, it made sense at least to me to consider removing that ad hoc status and making it more of a regular committee and then having those regular meetings. That to me made sense, and I started to feel that way in my stomach. Sometime earlier this, like in February, just of all the things that were going on, I just felt like governance was really just a committee that we really should start to crystallize more and make it more frequent. I didn't know how other board members felt about that, but this is the right place to talk about that. And maybe that's why I was thinking, is this a governance issue, or, but who better to ask than this body of folks?
Well, I mean, I think I would agree with making it a standing committee. I think on most boards, it is a standing committee. The governance committee could prepare a bylaws change. I mean, yes. That's what it would require. That's not a big deal.
Right. So at the very least, meeting regularly makes the most sense. I'd like to hear from others to see what their opinions are about this.
Do we need to clarify and delineate a scope of work more clearly?
For governance?
And executive, yes.
Well, I'm always in favor of more clarity. given that even me coming in today, Yeah, I understand that they're different committees, but there's times when I'm like, oh, wait, would that go with executive committee or would that go to governance? It's Kathy, thank you for some context about that earlier. But yes, greater clarity, greater delineation. Mary, I don't know how you feel.
I feel there, you know, we had, I'm thinking back well over a year and a half, 2 years ago, where we had, you know, the planning, and so it's probably 3 years ago when we had the retreat, and governance was part of planning that, and as an ad hoc event, and then there were other things that rolled out ad hoc, and so there's a tremendous amount of work for governance to do. As Josie had mentioned, that's driving me to swat at it here. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of base structural work that governance still needs to, or not needs to, but can do, that needs to, that is, there's a need to do. And it seems that that's the logical committee to do that. As stated, you know, the executive committee functions to deal with emergent issues or things that need to be decided, excuse me, on a timely matter for that of the board. And, you know, we can draw up some statements or text as to what is the responsibilities of the executive committee versus what is that of the governance committee, and create an independent document for both to delineate that, so that the executive committee doesn't end up doing work that really belongs to governance, and we don't end up meshing into each other.
That's very well stated, and I'm also thinking about how valuable that would be for onboarding board members. As people join or get folded into the mental health board, to have sort of like an informational piece, I think would be valuable. Back in the day, I was designated to finance committee back in 2014, and I kind of knew what that was, but over time had to sort of piecemeal together what each committee did, right? Mm-hmm. So what you're talking about is, even from the perspective of onboarding, is very valuable.
Yeah, I think there's potential confusion between the governance committee and the executive committee. I don't feel the same way between the quality committee and finance and executive work. But in the case of governance, you know, I think there is a chance that the executive committee gets into issues that really belong to the governance and vice versa. Now, clearly, if governance has as part of its role to identify potential candidates, to onboard candidates, to make sure that, you know, it's operating within the structure of laws and acts and that sort of thing, and just good board practice, you know, I think that's probably a good delineation of what its job is. And sometimes, you know, you run the risk of even management bringing issues to governance or to executive that really belong to the other committee. And so who is the referee, and what guidance are they following in making sure that the right committee is approached with the right subjects? So that confusion doesn't exist in finance. It doesn't exist in quality. But I think it can exist between governance and executive.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. I would agree.
Except that I would see the executive committee dealing with issues that are urgent, whereas governance deals with issues that are not urgent but important.
I mean, that urgency piece I know is organic to the executive committee.
Right.
That's understood. But outside of that, I think what Tom said, I mean, even the fact that, I've been doing this since 2014, and you know, I'm still sort of wrapping my brain. I'm always learning on this board. But if I had some, I know that the executive committee, we're a voting committee. So outside of distinctive features, I didn't really know. Because even as we will see with item number two, arguably that could fall into governance. You know, I think it would be valuable to understand it better, but decide on the direction of what we want to do with governance, even the status of governance being ad hoc.
I'm in favor of adding it to the bylaws as a permanent committee, as long as roles and responsibilities are clear and differentiated, and there's no confusion or conflict. That's where I'm.
So, in the spirit of that, if that's the pathway, it would seem that we would need to, and Kathy, you and I attempted this a few years ago. Remember when we were working on that binder?
Right.
Back in the day before COVID?
Right.
You know, we would have to decide, you know, okay, who's going to work on the bylaws? What's going to be, how are we going to delineate those roles and make them more distinctive? Because there's some footwork there as well. Jody.
Madam Chair, committee member Lutzow, can I take what you said as a motion? And that would be a motion to just change the ad hoc status of governance.
Yes, you could make it a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'd like the motion read before I vote. There are two parts to the motion: that it be made permanent and roles and responsibilities are clearly delineated, both parts.
I was going to say that.
So, Jody, could you read the motion?
And of course, this is rough until I, you know, get to wordsmith it on paper really well. But the motion is to take the governance committee out of its ad hoc status or classification, make it a standing committee with the roles and responsibilities clearly delineated in the bylaws. Now, Madam Chair, committee members, this is a kind of a two-part motion vote sort of thing. Because in addition, we can take care of the executive committee side, meaning, and Madam Chair, committee member Lutzow, I do believe that all of those committees, that descriptive role and responsibilities, I think that is already entailed in that document. The specifics of what these committees and the purpose and the responsibilities of these committees. So I do think that that'll be kind of easy when going back and looking at the bylaws. I think that is specifically there. The thing about the executive committee, as committee member Eilers spoke, it is basically used for that we have to get this done now sort of issue. However, the bylaws do state that the executive committee must meet outside of that 3 times a year, if I'm not mistaken. So that would be changed to as needed or call of the chair. Is that clear?
as needed or call of the chair versus being more dictative.
And on a regular schedule.
Correct.
So, Madam Chair, committee members, how does that sound?
I like that it would be, well, it stands defined, correct, that it meets on urgent matters as defined, and that it should be at the discretion of the chair, because what happens with all of our schedules when there's, okay, we have to meet 3 times a year out of that urgent need, and if there's really not much going on, you know, we can cancel it, but I think that if we just reword it, it just, you know.
Madam Chair, committee members, if I may.
Yeah.
I can read you the description of what it says the executive committee is responsible for. And, well, let me read it to you.
Yeah.
There is created an executive committee of the board consisting of the chair, vice chair, and secretary of the board, the immediate past chair of the board, and the chairpersons of the finance and quality committees as voting members. That was something that we changed from the original emeritus thing. So that is something we have to also address maybe at a later time, but we got to get it figured out. The executive committee shall exercise the power of the board between meetings of the board, but such action by the executive committee is provisional only and expires at the next meeting of the board, at which time, however, the board may choose to ratify the action of the executive committee and may, if the board desires, make the action retroactive to the time of the executive committee action. Ratification by the board is subject to any limitation placed on said powers by statute or these bylaws. The chair of the chair of the board shall chair the executive committee, and the secretary shall provide for written minutes as prepared. So actually, it doesn't even say that we are mandated to meet a certain number time of year. So that's kind of easy.
So where did that come from anyway? Because we've been doing it that way for 7 years.
You know, I think... Go ahead.
From the bylaws.
Well, actually, Madam Chair, committee members, the specific number of meeting 3 times a year... is not in the bylaws. Now, Madam Chair, committee members, every other committee, standing committee, that is identified in the bylaws, it does have a specific number of times that the committee shall meet a year. I am looking at the bylaws now. There is no such designation for the executive committee.
I'll be darned.
The executive committee serves at the call of the chair.
And I don't see a reason to change that. The only thing I would add, Jody, as you recited the history of the emeritus position, in the original bylaws, that position did not exist at all. That position was created when Duncan left the chair position.
Yeah, I remember
there
that.
There was never an emeritus position in the original. And maybe we want to eliminate that going forward, too.
What is the purpose of the emeritus position? Is that position in place in the event that the residing chair is not there or is unable to fulfill an obligation? I'm not sure.
No,
No, it has no secondary job.
Okay.
Now, it was created largely at Duncan's request. He reminded the board that an emeritus position is not uncommon in boards, and that's true. That an emeritus position brings legacy, knowledge, and history to the board. Okay, that's kind of the reason the emeritus, it's an honor. But the original bylaws did not have it in there. It was put in. It was put in because of Duncan's effort.
I remember that. I do remember that. So not required.
It is not. No. And if it's eliminated, then the problem that Jody mentioned of a vacant voting seat would be taken care of.
Madam Chair, committee members, this is Kate. If I could just chime in for a moment and just note the turnover that the board is going to be experiencing. And so just highlighting that fact for you that, you know, as you original board members will be terming off, there'll be like a huge transition for the board. So looking at that institutional knowledge piece might be something that you want to consider. Thank you.
In other words, favoring the idea of preserving the possibility of an emeritus?
I've seen it work with different boards that I've helped to support in just providing that continuity, the legacy knowledge that you had mentioned, Tom. But I see the kind of sticking point that you're at with, you know, the voting issue. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some creative way to put that into place in another, you know, in another way.
Would that be possible, Jody, to add verbiage to say may include, not should or must, but may, like making it optional?
So it was originally written to be optional. That's how Corp Counsel wrote it for us initially. Okay. Yes, that was how it was set up. So that,
thank you, Kate.
So that there would be no interruption if there was no emeritus.
Gotcha.
But if there was, they would be part and be able to help with that knowledge and that legacy discussion we were having.
So in other words, that lingo would not even need to change.
I'm sorry.
That lingo would not need to change then.
Well, Madam Chair, committee members, no, it would have to revert back to what it was. It had been changed. So since Corp Counsel set that up for the bylaws, it has since been changed, yes.
Okay.
So it would have to go back in order to preserve, as our research analyst told us, in order to preserve that and keep that seat available so that when there is a past chair who still continues to sit on the board can be a part of that, the bylaws would have to go back to what they were when Corp Counsel included that in them. So then there would be, Madam Chair, committee members, no harm, no foul if that seat is vacant.
Well, I would move to, if you were saying it was a vote within a vote, if you will, the language stays the same, really, in terms of what the executive function, the function is, you know, meeting on an as needed basis for urgent matters, if you will, or wordsmith that in any creative way you want.
Yes.
And would it then be just I'm in favor of that, obviously, and including it in the language, you know, pursuant to the other clause we just voted on. And then additionally, reverting back to the other language prior to that requirement of the emeritus position, or not requirement, but what you just said, you said it a lot more eloquently than me. But in my mind, the way that I had heard it prior to Kate talking, or after Kate spoke, was, you know, keeping it in, but using the word may, making it optional, but maybe that's just overkill.
So I vote yes on the recitation of the original motion. And so now I believe, Maria, you're making a new motion on reverting back to original language pertaining to any emeritus appointment.
Well, I guess I wanted to be clear about the language. After Kate spoke, I was under the impression that what's common to many boards is that that's an optional position, right? It's not required. Therefore, here's my question. Does it need to be even mentioned? So in subsequent future executive committee meetings, is it appropriate for a previous chairperson to say, hey, I want to serve as emeritus? Is that going to change the bylaw? Do we have to go back there and change the bylaw? I hope I'm making sense.
Madam Chair, committee members, yes.
I think the emeritus position has to be given by the board. Now, in other words, somebody can't request it. It's got to be awarded. I guess they can request it. It's got to be awarded. In the current bylaws, it's automatic. The immediate past chair is the emeritus position and it has voting rights. Okay. Yeah. Now, that's post-Duncan.
Yeah.
And if we go to pre-Duncan, I don't think there's any mention at all of an emeritus position.
There wasn't.
So if the motion is to go back to pre-Duncan, you're eliminating emeritus and you're eliminating the voting status of anything other than the executive committee, normal executive committee chairs, which is you, the chair, plus the chairs of each of the committees, I presume now, including governance, quality, and finance. And that would be the group. No emeritus at all. And I'm good with that. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess it's been this way for so long that I hadn't even given it any thought. I don't know how other board members feel. I think just since we're talking about it, there is value, as was previously, there is value to having an emeritus, but to make it required, I don't think that that's necessary.
Yeah, and even if emeritus was granted, you're not granting voting rights to that position, I don't think.
No.
Madam Chair, committee members, yeah. As the bylaws are currently written, we are giving them voting rights.
That's right. But the pre-Duncan version did not.
Madam Chair, committee members, the post Duncan version also did not include voting rights for the emeritus position.
That's correct also. So the post-Duncan version created the emeritus position, and then I believe the governance committee added voting authority to that position.
Correct.
So is the question about whether there should be an emeritus that has voting?
I think there's a question, Madam Chair, committee members, of if we should be having this particular discussion in governance.
Case in point, which is why I brought it up in the first place.
That is where the change in the bylaws was made, Madam Chair, committee members. It came out of governance. I think that it would be wise to refer the issue back to governance. Let governance hash it out. And then make a recommendation to the board either way. And now, what do, Madam Chair, committee members, what do you think?
I think both questions should be referred to the governance committee. Bylaw change of any kind should be referred to the governance committee.
Right. That's correct.
I would agree with that. Mary, any thoughts?
It belongs in government.
That agenda keeps getting longer and longer, Jody.
I know. That's why, Madam Chair, committee members, making it a standing committee, I think, will be so helpful. I mean, we have so many things that fall under governance, and we just don't have the time or even get to utilize the proper time to take care of these things. You know, I feel like we're coming up short on governance, and that's an area that we should not be coming up short.
So it sounds like the move would be to revert that question to governance, and it's just as easy as that, yes?
Madam Chair, committee members, okay, so committee member Lasalle said both issues. So what do you guys think? Do we want to withdraw these motions? The discussion is very good, and it'll be a part of the record, and it will probably make it go smoother in governance. But do, Madam Chair, committee members, do we feel the appropriate venue for this, because it entails bylaws changes? Does it belong in governance?
So I move that this issue of bylaws changes is referred to governance. Is the other issue that it's a standing committee? Is that the other issue?
Yes, Madam Chair, committee member Eilers, yes. I think both of those issues could definitely go to governance.
Well, I would suggest that whether it's a standing committee or not is an executive committee decision that should then go to the full board.
And Madam Chair, committee member Eilers, and that is for taking governance out of its ad hoc status?
Right.
Okay, we can do that. And we already, Madam Chair, committee members, we already have a first and a second on that particular piece. So then, Madam Chair, committee members, the second part will be to refer the outstanding item
to governance.
Back to governance.
Yes, what you just said, that makes it clear. I think that fumbling through the language, but I'm in concurrence with Kathy.
And Madam Chair, and committee members, it's also, I think, a good thing too, because coming up towards the end of the year, I also kept a lot of the information that I was given from our past Corp Council, and one of my notes is telling me that we have to ensure to change the bylaws to take all hospital language out once the hospital closes. So I think that once we have these discussions and these meetings, probably towards the end, more so the end of the year, like December, perhaps we could offer a bylaws package.
And that's an opportune time.
And then, and so, what, Madam Chair, committee members, what do you think?
I would agree.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and I would include in that a cleansing of all policies, too. I'm sure we have policies that relate to the hospital that need to be abandoned.
Buried.
Yes. Yes.
Burned.
Yeah. Certainly, you know, that there needs to be an inventory of policies, and maybe there is some oversight policy that has to remain, monitoring policies that have to remain, but administrative and operational policies relating to, for instance, safety and security, I don't think, we no longer operate a hospital.
Right. Those safety and security issues are already subsumed by their respective programs like CCS, wraparound. They're already included in those policies.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. So is there anything else we need around item number two, Jody? In anticipation for the next governance committee, this would be then added to that agenda.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, committee members, the motion will be to take governance out of its ad hoc status, make it a standing committee with the role and responsibility of governance clearly defined, and that would be included, of course, in the bylaws, with a referral of the emeritus issue with the executive committee refer to governance.
That's more clear. Do we have a motion? I think we did.
Yes, we have a first and a second. Madam Chair, committee members, does that sound right? Does that encompass everything we discussed, you think?
Yes.
Well, I guess part of the referral to governance should be for them to propose a definition of their roles and responsibilities. I mean, the executive committee isn't going to do that, so they would have to do that for themselves.
Okay.
So it sounds that, Mary, what say you? Are we in favor? I certainly am.
Yes.
Okay. Me too.
So is that a consensus? Consensus from everyone?
It is unanimous.
Unanimous. Okay, so Madam Chair, committee members, just to be clear, the only item that will be advancing to the board level is going to be the status of the governance being ad hoc versus standing. That is the only item out of this discussion that will be going forward to the board.
Correct. And the other one will be in the weeds and it will be left to governance to determine.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. I'm exhausted.
I know.
Okay.
We're moving along.